Of prayer.
Can we stand with you?
Absolutely.
Let's take a stretch.
Let's stand. God, we just, you are glorious and wonderful and good, and we thank you for your cross. We thank you that you obeyed as well. We thank you, Lord, that we get to come together and rejoice in you together. And that we get to be a part of your body. And so we come and ask, Lord, that you again would speak. That it would not be my voice or anyone else's, that it would be yours alone. Help me to yield to your spirit, God, and to share what's on your heart. And we thank you and praise you for how we are going to hear from you tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. So briefly, Revelation 3, just to go back for those who weren't here this morning, and even so, I'm going to read just the part that we're going to be going over today, so verses 1 through 3. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. This morning, we looked more at the being watchful and holding fast, even though I didn't get to the word hold fast. But the same idea is to attend carefully, to be watchful, and to really repent, to be able to come before the Lord and not stay in a place of sin, or to seek, to guard, to seek the Lord. To be watchful. I don't know what other words to say at this moment, but and we talked about remembering and just what we have received in Christ, and that is part of this process of remembering, of confessing sin, of being able to lay the things down that are not of Christ and being able to replace that with his truth and remember who he is and who we are in him. So tonight, you can be praying. We want to see Jesus tonight. So, looking at the strengthening part, part of that is the remembering and the holding fast. Looking at the definition of strength, strengthen, or establish, which is interesting, the Greek word is sterizo, which is like steroids. I think of working out, building your muscles. Seems similar to me. Since I, in the last several years, have really started to really enjoy doing that and seeing the benefit as I'm continuing to be obedient and disciplined in that. And then when I'm not, there's just a, I don't know how else to describe it. And so the Lord wanting to build our spiritual muscles, it also means to make stable, to place firmly, to fix, and I love this definition, to render constant one's mind. That we're single focused, like God's wisdom, it says in James, is pure. It's not distractible, it's single minded. Him. Him. Fixed on him. So, back to September 21st, 2016 again. We're talking about this morning about the process of wound care and watching somebody walk through that and being able to, needing to monitor and debriefing if needed, and that means coming to the physician and allowing him to cleanse you, to debrief the things that are not, that are dead, that need to be removed, and then to step into strengthening. Oftentimes, it may even be coming, we may be trying to strengthen even while the dead tissue's on there. But the Lord wants to remove that and move us into really doing what Sarah does and what Amy does. Strengthening the muscles, strengthening the spiritual muscles. So I was a part of the healing process, whether I liked it or not. Of course, my husband got hurt, and therefore, he was in the healing process. But I had to be a part of that. There were times where I did not want to be a part of that, and I was ready to be done. And I was ready to say, I want to go away for a little bit, or get out of here. And I know that's normal for a lot of us, because it's hard. It can be hard walking along someone else, alongside others who are going through the healing process as well. It's dying to yourself. It's giving up some of that other dead stuff, but dying to yourself, picking up your cross. You're part of that monitoring. You're watching someone else and trying to see what's going on. How can I help you? Even when they can't help themselves, helping to rebandage and unbandage, take off the dirty stuff, put on the new. It's reminding those that are wounded the truth. It's leading them to the great physician, driving them down Broadway for a long time in traffic to get to the physician, to make sure that they are healthy. It's listening to the hurts and concerns and not rolling your eyes and getting frustrated. And when you do, then you go to the physician and say, help me, please. And then continue on. Does anybody understand where that process? I'm seeing a lot of nods. The Lord really has put it on my heart in this process. It's our own strengthening and our own healing that he wants, but as was just said in the beginning, this, we are the whole body of Christ, and he wants to utilize all of us in each other's lives. And I know that we know that, but I feel like the Lord wants us to know that, and I still need to learn that. I feel like it's every day. I just want to look at Isaiah 61. Verses 1 through 3. These may be very familiar verses to you. And then these words were spoken of Jesus, or by Jesus, in the temple, basically saying, this is who I am, when he was saying this. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, or the bitterness of soul, that they may be called trees of righteousness or oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. For probably the last year or so, this passage, the Lord keeps on impressing upon my heart, yes, this is Christ was basically saying, I am he, I am this one, when he spoke that in Luke. But the Lord keeps on pressing upon me that there now that Christ is no longer physically here, and that we are in Christ, therefore, he wants to do this through us. He wants to use us to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. He wants us to comfort those who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion. He wants us to be a part of that process with others and to strengthen one another. That's what this time is here. That's why we're here, to be strengthened. But it's only through his Spirit, and I'm going to say that over, I feel like I keep on saying that over and over again, but the Spirit of him in us, it's not of ourselves. So may God help us as we do that, as we walk alongside our friends who are hurting, even if it's hard. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, other very familiar verses, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I'll just stay in verse 1. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Okay, so our bodies. The thing that stuck out to me in this passage is the same idea. We are the body of Christ. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. But that word sacrifice is not plural. It is singular. It is one sacrifice. So even though we are presenting our individual bodies, God is seeing that as a whole. He is seeing that as one sacrifice, presenting all of our bodies as one living sacrifice. We are one, even though we are separate. We are one. And back to the Revelation 3 passage. Let's go back to the Revelation 3 passage. Sorry, I keep on making you go all over the place here. In verse 4, so he's telling us, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain, remember, hold fast, repent. He's saying people think you're alive, but you're actually dead. And then he says in verse 4, you have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Don't you find that interesting that you're dead? Oh, but wait, there's some people there that aren't. They're not defiled. That the Lord is seeing them as a whole. Even though some are walking in white and they are worthy, he still sees us as a whole body. As I was praying over this particular topic of the strengthening and looking at walking in white, I was thinking of a bride and us as being the bride of Christ. And the Lord is so I'm sure, just like a groom is waiting for the bride to walk down the aisle. So excited when we finally get to come together as one, when he finally pulls his whole body of Christ together. So excited to pull up all of us together to himself. But I have this picture of Jesus standing there at the end of the aisle and a bride walking in with a filthy dress on, no nose, scraped arms, crutches, walking down the aisle because we weren't taking care of ourselves, because we weren't taking care of each other. And just the Lord impressed upon me that this is the time. The time is near. He is coming. Death can come, or he is coming, one or the other. And he wants us to be ready and prepared. He wants us to be watchful and to be a part of the solution be a part of the solution with the rest of our body, so that if Linda's struggling, that I'm being used by him to clean up that scrape, put on the little Neosporin on there, put a little Band-Aid, be able to check with her again and again. He wants us to be a part of that. And I feel like I'm preaching to the choir here. I feel like I've seen this more in this fellowship than I have anywhere else. So I find it interesting that this is, the Lord has placed this on my heart, but I feel like it's so crucial to our walk. He wants us to be a part of that. Let's read Hebrews 10, 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope. It's that same word. Let's draw near with the true heart, hold fast. And I love, I can't remember where it is. I think it's Philippians 2, where it's talking about I was looking at consider one another, but it's, you know what? I'm just going to look it up really quick. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful that the Lord, Philippians 2:4. I think it's wonderful that he wants us to look out for the interests of others, but he's not saying, don't neglect yourself. It's not saying, oh yeah, well, don't worry about it. We need to be taking care of ourselves as well as walking along with others. In Hebrews 12:12-15, he says, therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Over the summer, after going to Greece and working in a refugee camp, as well as the rest of the summer, the Lord has really shown me, or has spent some time teaching me more about obedience. Isn't it funny how this all works together? And how forgive me, because I'm gonna be vulnerable. This is may seem silly, maybe not. That's okay. Even right now, the wanting me to be yielded to his spirit and to be listening to what he wants for you right now. This here, this is, in my eyes, of planning something is not complete. And so the Lord is like, I want you to go with that incomplete paper. I
and just listen to my spirit and let me speak, which is great. But it's freaking me out right now. Because there's no notes, it's just verses right here. It's just verses. But the Lord wants us to be, learning obedience. Thank you for loving me. As we step into taking care of others, as we step into taking care of ourselves in the Lord and asking Him, daily coming to the physician, He desires for us to walk completely yielded through His power, completely yielded to what He desires and what He wants. So when I was in Greece, I know I shared some of this at the conference for those who were there, but as I went and was serving, I was a little frustrated because it was not what I desired to be doing. It was not my quote-unquote gifting to go and pick up trash. And it was not something that I longed to do all of my life. And I was sharing this with someone earlier, I kept on saying like, oh, Neil, he has a servant's heart. Helps is his thing. That is, he has a place. But I don't. And the Lord continued to challenge me over and over again every day. Do you think that I in my flesh wanted to touch a leper? Do you think in my flesh that I wanted to go to the cross? Do you think I wanted to do all of these things? It may not have been my gifting to do those things, but the Lord has asked us to be obedient in whatever He has shown us to do. And hallelujah, we have His Spirit living within us. And you know what? This is the cool part about it all, is that Jesus was so 100% man. Yes, He was God. But the Lord keeps on putting it back and back on my heart. 100% man. He was tempted just as we are. We think of Him, and I still think, I mean, there are times where I'm just like, yeah, but He's Jesus, and so He didn't sin. Cool. That's great for you, God, but what about my life? But He was man. And I feel like I need to say that again and again, just to myself. He had to battle the enemy, just like we do. He was tempted, I'm sure, probably even more than we are ever tempted, because He was a threat. He was a major threat to the enemy. And he had to come to the Lord and say, help me. He was sweating blood at the end. Help me to be obedient. John 15:10 says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. There's a verse in Psalm 71 where it says that, I should stop trying to do that. Psalm 71. In verse 3, the second half, it says, you have given the commandment to save me. That Jesus was commanded to come, and He obeyed it. And how did He obey it? This summer, some of us heard Ed Miller talk a lot about Jesus as a man. And how Adam and Eve, they were created and were living as God intended them to live. They were living in direct relationship with the Lord Jesus, or, well, yes, with God. And there was no sin separating them, and they were following his will. They were obeying him, walking. They were created in his image. There was no separation. They were living as God intended. And then the fall happened. Enemy came in, deceived Eve. Adam and Eve sinned, and then there was that separation. And the Lord brought Jesus back and showing us that you can live through the power of my Holy Spirit. You can live how that was in the beginning, how we were created and intended to live. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered, just like we're learning obedience by the things that we're suffering, by the things that we're tempted with. Jesus had to continually choose righteousness, continually, every day. Is it just me, or is it weird to think that Jesus had to choose that? Okay. You can do nods or something. Again, he was a man. But the thing is, he knew who he was. He knew the truth. Who his father was. He knew that his father was good. He knew that his father was faithful. I can just see him walking around in the garden all by himself in the background, just speaking out loud to himself, because I do that all the time, trying to speak the truth out just to get it in my heart. He knew his father. He knew that there are times where I can't do this anymore. Can y'all pray for me right now? I'm going to go over here because I can't do this. And even then, he got disrupted or interrupted, and people wanted to come and talk to him, and he still walked with the Lord. Nothing deterred him from obeying the Father. Nothing. And I want to encourage us tonight, as we are trying to be watchful, guarding, being obedient, wanting to confess, wanting to stand in Christ, all of those things, to remember that the same Spirit that empowered Christ to say yes to every obedience he was called, or every commandment that he was called to, lives in you. Amen. And lives in me. And if that's all I need to say tonight, that's all I need to say. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you and me. The same Spirit that had Paul's mouth and Peter's mouth and Saul, who was martyred, and saying, Lord, forgive them, basically. And just being, I'm seeing you, Christ, nothing else, lives in us. Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. A favorite quote from an amazing book, Norman Christian Life. So that would be Watching Me. I was reading quite a while ago about what does it mean to die to myself? What does it mean to give up? And I love this because I remember reading the chapter and like, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? And then the next paragraph said, what does that mean? I was like, yes! Simplicity, I loved. It simply means
that I will not take any action without relying on God. Simple, right? Simple. It's that listening. There's more of it. It simply means that I will not take any action without relying on God. I will find no sufficiency in myself. I will not take any step just because I have the power to do so. You have to live by the life of another, capital another. Live by his life. You have to draw everything from him. Find no sufficiency in myself. Lord God, we need you to remind us again and again, please, every hour. It simply means to yield to you, simply means to listen and to do what you said. Help us, Lord. Help us to find the simplicity in Christ. Lord, that's where revival is at. It's coming to you. It's putting our hearts before you and submitting. So my question as a body of Christ, individually, we have responsibility. I just have some questions that I want to ask, and you can take them however the Spirit wants to use them in your life. Am I taking care of myself? Am I allowing the physician to cleanse and heal me daily? Hourly, moment by moment. Am I pursuing Christ with my whole heart? What does that look like? Even to seek him and ask him, what does that look like, Lord? What does it look like to seek you with my whole heart today? Because it may look different tomorrow. Well, probably not. Well, it could, yeah. It just may come out in different ways. And who am I in Christ? What's the truth of who I am? Are we living in the fear of, oh, I need to be a people pleaser. I'm fearing failure, and no one wants to hear me. My words aren't being worth listening to. Or are we living in the truth that we're fearfully and wonderfully made? I have this little example. It's kind of silly. Just learning about how God is good, but how the word spoken out, and I said it earlier, but how powerful the spoken word is. Just thinking about God and how he, in the beginning, he didn't have to say, hey, let there be light. He didn't have to say that. He probably, I'm sure he just, bam. Bam. Okay, there's light. Okay, here's a planet. Okay, here, he could have created everything. But being able to, he actually used his words. So the power of words. And I came home from Bible study, going with Jamie, and we had just learned a bit about that. And I remember coming home and getting ready for bed. And my husband was doing whatever he was doing in the bathroom. And brushing his teeth or whatever, and he looked into the room, and I just heard, oh, he thinks you're ugly. And I was like, what? What is that? And hallelujah, the Lord immediately reminded me what we just talked about, and I freaked my husband out, and I walked into his part of the bathroom and said, guess what, honey? You know what? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And I just started speaking a few sentences like that, and he was like, okay. And of course, he wasn't even thinking those things. Right. But
as soon as I spoke, I mean, and when I first heard in my head that, oh, you're ugly and he sees you as ugly, I started feeling sick, literally, physically. And as soon as I said those words, it was gone. All of that, it was just gone. Who I am in Christ. Corporately, are we as a body taking care of other parts of the body? Are we taking care of the appendixes and the little toes? Even if you feel like I am a little toe, I feel insignificant, you help us balance. Am I right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's good. Are we praying for each other? That was something else that the Lord has shown me. The intercession, the summer. I feel like the summer was like filled with these things. Kept on showing me Christ is our intercessor. The Holy Spirit is our intercessor. We are intercessors. And as I was praying one day, the Lord gave me a picture of God the Father, Jesus sitting next to him on his right-hand side, and then, forgive me if I'd use the wrong hand, but I feel like the Jesus was holding his hand out to his Father, saying, no, 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 not that one. And inside Jesus' body, I could see people. I could see, I started seeing my mom and my dad and my sister and my friends and myself, and thinking, I am in Christ. That's us. As we're praying for people, that's us asking the Father, oh, have mercy. Have mercy on that person. Help that person. You're interceding, but we're right there next to him. We're sitting there. We can plead with him, and he's so willing to listen. So beautiful. Are we coming on Sunday morning prepared to worship? Are we individually coming so that we can corporately participate? Are we pursuing others during the week, keeping people accountable? So somebody said, I want to be obedient in this. Are we asking them? Checking up on them? I'm horrible at that sometimes. So it's needed. Are we giving out the comfort that God has given us? Like it says in 2 Corinthians 1. Hearing different people going through deaths in families and sickness and other people coming. I love, it's so beautiful, other people coming alongside and saying, I went through that. And this is how God supported me. And it's so beautiful. God wants to use us in each other's lives like that. Am I challenging that other person more? Am I calling her out in love on her sin? Saying, what's going on? What's that? What's going on? What's happening here? Am I seeing this, either your friend in Christ? In the midst of temptation, in the midst of it all, are you seeing her as God's workmanship, or him, or your husband, or whomever? Are you seeing that person as loved and worth dying for? Ask the Lord to help us to see them as we want him to see us, and we want others to see us in Christ and who we are and our worth. Therefore, giving that out to the other. And together, are we letting others, are we teachable? Are we letting others cure and sharpen and help us? Or are we pushing back? Saying, nope. You're not going to touch me today. Are you responding in hurt? Like gossiping. How dare they try to call out my sin? Being holier than thou. Rather than ignoring it or coming in anger, rather than going, Lord, I'm really kind of upset with that person right now, but is there a reason why I'm upset with that person right now? Because there's more going on there?
Are we acknowledging the challenge? Being teachable. Bringing it to the cross. Not in our own intellect of like, oh yeah, I can fix that. I got it. But being able to come to the Lord. Where did it go? I'm going to read that last thing again. So what does it mean to die to ourselves? It simply means that I will not take any action without relying on God. I will find no sufficiency in myself. I will not take any step just because I have the power to do so. You have to live by the life of another Christ. You have to draw everything from him. May the Lord help us to be the light in this world. And as we're taking care of each other, oh my, what people see, what the outsiders see. They want that. Let's pray. God, I just thank you so much again and again for your empowering. Thank you, Lord, that you, Lord Jesus, learned obedience. You came and lived this life just like we did, but said no. Said no to those temptations. Said no. And you endured? Hallelujah, you endured. Because you remembered. You looked and saw the joy at the end of it all. And therefore you endured the cross because you knew. You knew what God's purposes were and are. Lord, may we see your purpose. May we see your face. May we understand what it means to be with you. Lord, strengthen the things that remain. Lord God, help us to be obedient to let go of the things that are dead. Give them over to you, and Lord, to utilize this body that's so precious. Help us to do that. And I know we make mistakes, but help us to do that in love, to speak truth in love, to speak life in love, to yield to your Holy Spirit and your leading. Help us to listen, to know what your voice sounds like. We need you. We need you. And we thank you that we have you. In Jesus' name.